it needed a lot of work.
Okay.
So it was easy enough to get them to go lower because it needed a lot of work. So I did an FHA, so Federal Housing Administration, 203K, K as in Kevin, loan. And that's where you wrap the rehab into the loan.
Are you tired of trying to keep ahead in the rat race, only to have so much of your hard-earned money going to the tax collector? Equity doesn't pay the bills. Retirement savings don't pay you now, and there are only 24 hours in a day to work. The only solution is passive income that pays you 24/7 now, not 40 years from now. From vetted investment opportunities to tax saving strategies, let John guide you through all the confusion and take control of your financial life in pursuit of financial freedom. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the Wealth and Freedom Nexus.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. I'm your host, as always, investor, educator, and realtor, John Rickgarn. Now, as I always try to find new, interesting, and sometimes even fun topics to share as far as, financial education, country spotlights, etc., I myself am always learning as well. I've been on my financial freedom journey, if you will, since late 2014, where basically I was at unconsciousness incompetence. I didn't know what I didn't know. And it's one of those funny things that, like, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And many times it's very, very easy to kind of go down the rabbit hole, whether it's, stock investing or investing in the Burr method for real estate, just for a couple topics there. Now, this is one topic that I am actually very green on, and I honestly don't know much about it. As a realtor, in fact, I had talked to a number of my coworkers, people in the space, sometimes with, even close to 10 years experience, and they never heard about this. In rural America here, not all banks offer this option. I am currently working with a bank with this type of loan, or that's hoping to have this type of loan available, hopefully March, April at this point. Might be more prevalent maybe in the bigger cities, but obviously being here in little old Marshall, Minnesota, sometimes it takes a while for technology and programs to catch up with us. And what am I talking about? Basically, this is an FHA 203K loan. Now, high level, and this is just what I've learned so far, I'm actually looking to take some classes on this and learn about it more, because I think this could have helped out some of my buyers that I've been working with the past couple of years as well. So typically, for those of you that have purchased a home or looking to purchase a home, like they always say, cash is best. You just buy a house all cash. You don't even need an appraisal. If the house is worth $100,000, but you just say, yep, I'll pay $120,000 all cash, here you go, you don't even need an appraisal. There's no bank saying, well, we got to, do our due diligence, make sure we're covered, et cetera. Conventional loans, they've come down in come down quite a bit in the last few years since the Great Recession as far as stringentness. But, typically, number one, the bank looks at the borrower. Okay, are they going to make their payments, pay everything back, et cetera? And generally speaking, is the house habitable? They're basically going to do an inspection. They're going to want to make sure they have an appraisal. If they're loaning out on a $100,000 home, they want to make sure that they have a third-party independent appraisal to say this is worth $100,000. But, maybe the house needs some fix and flips, cosmetic things, maybe major bathroom was half remodeled and then just left, for instance. Those are just some instances I've run into as a realtor. Now, going down the path for funding and financing, then you have what's called USDA Rural Development Loans and FHA loans, which are government-backed and certain, basically they have certain programs to encourage and promote home ownership, but they are a little bit more stringent on the regulations that's required. So just to give you an instance, as a realtor with Minnesota Lands and Homes, I'm working with one right now that there was a side of the house that had some chip paint on it. And per the appraisal for, now this is for USDA rural development guidelines, that needed to be corrected before it can close. Now, if you've followed the weather, it's a little cold here in Minnesota, so no one's going to be painting when it's, you know, 10 below zero or even 20 above like it's been lately. So, you know, there's tips and tricks to get around that. But the point is, sometimes the government programs get a little bit picky. You know, this siding needs to be painted. The window needs to be replaced. GFI outlets need to be put in the kitchen and bathroom. That's pretty standard. This railing needs to be fixed. A relief valve on the water heater, that's a pretty common one that gets flagged. And as you go down this, you know, you might have heard of the BRRRR strategy: buy, rehab, refinance, rent, repeat, where many times you have to buy a home that is not in livable condition and banks aren't going to lend on that. So you have to find a hard money lender, a private lender, or buy it all cash and rehab it, get it fixed up, et cetera. This is a very unique program with the FHA. It is available in all 50 states that essentially is a little less restrictive for the properties. So let's just say you find a property, you're a first-time home buyer. Maybe you can only look at 3.5% down payment versus the traditional 15 to 25%, but it needs some work. Maybe it needs painting. Maybe it needs, you know, new shingles. Maybe there was a gut job on a bathroom and there's only a sink there now. There's no toilet or shower, for instance. Basically, an FHA 203 loan allows you to buy essentially a fixer-upper as a first-time home buyer, live in it while you're fixing it up, and then eventually refinance it into a conventional loan. So again, like I said, this is very new to me. Even as a realtor, I had never heard about this until late last year, when, you know, somewhere down the rabbit hole of podcasts and LinkedIn connections, came across Megan, who's today's guest on this. So she's going to come on and share her experience of how she started her real estate investing journey with a FHA 203 loan. I hope to learn just as much from this as I hope all of you as well, out there as well. We'll get into Megan's interview here after a word from today's sponsor.
Have you ever wanted to invest like the wealthy and how the 1% do, but think it's out of reach for you? Do you desire a more abundant lifestyle, but think you can't afford it? If so, check out ECI Development. With over 20 years of international real estate experience, Mike Cobb and his team can help you truly diversify your portfolio and lifestyle. How about benefiting from a generational investment that can 10x your wealth or more with a teak hardwood parcel in Panama or Nicaragua? Maybe it'll even lead to residency options in the future. Perhaps you'd be interested in a beachfront condo for under $250,000, enjoying the beautiful sunsets off the Pacific Ocean. Maybe an eco-friendly tiny home for around $100,000. ECI's team can even help you get financing for these investments. To learn more, check out the show notes or go to wealthandfreedomnexus.com/ECI. Megan, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, thanks, John.
Yeah, you bet. Now, for my listeners that, you know, maybe aren't familiar with you, you know, haven't heard your story of how you got into real estate, can you kind of give us a backstory of, you know, your life, where you grew up, and were you exposed to real estate at all, like from family, or did you just, you know, one day decide I'm going to invest in real estate?
Yeah, great question. So I actually grew up in a really small town called Cheryl, Arkansas.
Okay.
Population like 120.
Oh, wow.
so very small. Yeah. My great grandmother, my Mimi, and my uncle, we all lived on the same block. Like that kind of small. You know, we were like, you know, 20% of the population.
Sure. Wow. My hometown's 2,000 people, and I thought that was small.
Yeah. Actually, I met someone the other day that was population of 5, and I was like, all right, you beat me.
Wow. Okay. That's a new one.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I grew up in a small town. My mom was a single parent. We moved around a lot. So I guess my earliest exposure to real estate was every time rent was due, it was time to move.
Okay.
But so like, you know, growing up, not having a lot of money and seeing kind of like, you know, that instability that goes along with that, I think really propelled me to, when I was an adult, to be like, you know what, like, if not that hard, you know, to get into investing in real estate. And that's where, you know, people actually, you know, thrive a lot of times. And so I just started reading a bunch of books. I mean, I read a tax law book when I was 17, like that kind of ridiculousness. Like I was very into it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it also put me to sleep, but it worked out in the end.
Yeah. I learned from it. It doubles as a cure for insomnia. So, you know, it works out well.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of my first start, was reading those books and trying to figure out, like, how do people build wealth through real estate? So anyway, yeah, fast forward to 2013. I still didn't have enough money for that. You know, I was really young and just kind of, you know, working in restaurants and stuff, didn't have like a W-2 like full-time gig in yet, you know? And so I started, let's see, in 2013 is whenever I started investing in Bitcoin, and it was like $200 to $400 a pop back then. I kept buying and selling and going up and up and up. And then eventually, you know, sold them all when they were at about $1,000.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Which was enough, oddly enough, it was enough to buy a duplex. So okay. I bought my first duplex. It was, let's see. So it was listed at like $115,000. I talked them down to 91.5. So got in contract at 91.5.
Wow.
And then I was doing a, those books paid off.
Yeah.
So I was only looking for stuff that had been sitting for a while. It didn't have central heat and air. It needed a lot of work.
Okay.
So it was easy enough to get them to go lower because it needed a lot of work. So I did an FHA, so Federal Housing Administration, 203K, K as in Kevin, loan. And that's where you wrap the rehab into the loan. So,
oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's kind of complicated. It takes a lot longer than I wish it had. I mean, the seller was really angry a lot because we couldn't close on time.
Sure.
So I don't know if I would say, you know, just be prepared, you know, for listeners out there that are wanting to get into that, be prepared for a little bit of delays because you have to have all your contractors in place and you have to show their licenses and all this extra stuff that maybe you wouldn't do if it was, you know, if it wasn't through the government, but the government wants to make sure it's safe and affordable housing.
Gotcha.
So, you know, there's a little bit of loop.
Gotcha. So you can't say, well, my, Uncle Frank, he's going to do the electrical.
Right.
This guy I found on Craigslist, he's going to do the concrete work. And I'll find someone to do the plumbing. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It is bonded and insured. And you wouldn't believe how many people that you know, moved off the list right away. Because I was calling. Everyone's like, yeah, I can do the job. They got me big. Yep. We're good to go. And then when it comes time to send their licenses, they're like, no, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm, like, yeah. Well, and it's kind of interesting, and I won't, you know, name names. I won't, you know, pick on anyone, but I'm sure you've come across it. I know I have, where it's interesting because people could just put on their business cards, I'm licensed, bonded, and insured. And people think, oh, well, it says right on their business card. That's my due diligence. It's like, well, yeah, but their license lapsed 2 years ago. Their bonding's minimal. And yeah, they were sanctioned by the state 6 months ago. But hey, I got it on my business card. So it's obviously legit.
You would not believe how many times that has happened to me. The exact same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I've even had someone try to write in the expiration differently.
Oh, like, no, that's not a 3. That's an 8. It's expires in 2020.
Exactly what happened. Yeah. Like, wow. Okay.
Wow. All right. So now with buying a duplex, I know you said you sold the Bitcoin around 2013 was about $1,000 a coin. Did you get the duplex about that same time, or was that about a year later? Or
yeah, no, it's all the same. So I sold it and then got the duplex. It was, you know, like within, you know, the same month. And the FHA 203K loan, it was supposed to be like I think initially it was like a 30 to 45 day close. It turned into like 3 months.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So then, you sold your Bitcoin, you know, had that as your down payment. You, did you live in the side of the duplex and need rehab? Did the other side you rented, was that the one that needed rehab, or how did that work internally?
We'll be right back. Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, so we really couldn't, you know, fully move in because it needed everything. I mean,
okay.
electricity stuff, like electric work was needed. It wasn't safe to really live in yet, so that's partially why it took a little bit.
Okay.
So we hit the ground running, and I think the work was done probably in 3 weeks. They did really,
oh, wow.
You know, once I found people, it was fast. But it was a lot of people working on it. So,
sure.
So that's why it was a little fast, but, yeah, we didn't move in until maybe a month later, but, oh, and I guess I should talk about the numbers a little bit. So was in contract at $91,500. The rehab ended up being a little more expensive than I would go for now, but
okay.
back then it was my first place. I didn't really know. It
sure.
was about $17,000.
Okay.
So all in, I was about at like 108, something like that.
Okay.
But then you only pay 3.5% down because it's an FHA loan.
Right.
So for under $4,000, you know, I got not a car, I got a house.
Yep.
So, yeah. So it was pretty cool. But anyway, yeah. So all the work was done before I even moved in. And then moved in. I lived in on one side, and then I was in a band. I had bandmates on the other side.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we got to know the neighbors really fast. Had to go, you know, talk to everyone and tell them we'll be done at 9.
Sure.
Had to work on some soundproofing and all that.
Nice.
But yeah, so I did that for a while, and then about, I guess, a year later is when I visited San Francisco, fell in love with the place. And this okay. is all in Arkansas, and decided I'm going to move. And so at that point, I really became a landlord. Prior to that, it was basically just like, you know, hey, guys, rent's due.
Right.
It wasn't too bad.
Sure. Okay. This show is brought to you today by Lightbulb Podcasting. Are you a busy professional that needs to get more time back in their schedule? If you are a podcaster like me, you have enough on your plate. Why not outsource your podcast production? From editing, show notes, keywords, scheduling, volume balancing and editing, and creating audiograms, podcast production is another job in and of itself. That's why I use Lightbulb Podcasting. Get phenomenal support at an affordable price while you concentrate on growing your brand. Go to www.lightbulbpodcasting.com today to schedule an introductory call. Put your content in the spotlight.
So then now here we're in 2022, do you still own that same duplex, or have you sold that and moved on? Or
yeah, I did sell that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I sold that one, I think 2 years ago now, something like that. Right when it was starting to, like, you know, go up in value, I was like, you know, I would like to turn around and buy something else. So I started selling some stuff and getting into other properties that needed a lot of work. That's kind of
gotcha.
My jam. I always go for the ones that, you know, are in good neighborhoods, but need a ton of work
okay.
that no one wants to touch.
Gotcha. So like the, I think it's the proverbial worst house in the best neighborhood, where I think a lot of amateurs
yeah.
go for the best house in the worst neighborhood and think they can change the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And
so
it's
now,
you know, it's like, oh, I was just gonna say it's even like, you know, people shy away from foundation issues, like all this stuff, and I'm like, nah, I'll do it. Let's do it. Let's
sure.
figure it out.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're smart about it and factor it in. I mean, like
yeah.
you had mentioned
yeah.
with the rehab numbers, even with the rehab that was, you know, more expensive than you planned on, it still ended up being less than the initial listing price too. So, I mean, yeah, there might be a foundation issue, but if they say, well, we'll take, you know, I don't know what a foundation fix costs nowadays, but if it's $25,000 off the list price, that could pay for a new foundation probably. So,
yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. I usually do that while in contract now too, is I get all the bids and
okay.
then I feel like, here's how much I actually got the bids for, you know, before I was kind of estimating.
Right.
Now I know. Yeah.
So, okay. So now you mentioned, you know, from Arkansas, you moved to San Francisco, fell in love with the area and have stayed there ever since. Do you also invest in San Francisco as well, or do you just live in San Francisco and invest out of state?
Yeah, so I have a condo in Pleasant Hill. It's about 20 minutes outside of Oakland, towards Walnut Creek. It's more inland than the ocean cities. But yeah, so I live there, and that is an investment. I'm actually about to move to Long Beach, California, so I'll be renting that out. And I'll be doing another FHA in Long Beach
because
apparently every time you sell out of an FHA, you can get another one. So I'm like, great. But yeah, no, I've got, you know, like I think 11 doors in Arkansas right now. Okay. And so I mostly invest in Arkansas just because the margins are a little bit higher.
Sure.
And I'm mostly a cash flow investor.
Mm-hmm.
If I were just banking on appreciation, I would probably do more stuff in California, but I'm not. And I get a little worried about all the laws. You know, you can get squatters very easily, and it's a little bit, you can't say a lot of things, you know, and it's just like, I don't want to have an attorney, you know, on the phone with me every time.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's Megan again. What do you got now?
Yeah, you know, it's like I worked in that business in San Francisco, and I've done that a lot. And I mean, I swear we had, you know, attorney calls every week. So I'm like, I kind of want a little less headache than that. So
yeah,
I actually invest mostly in Arkansas because I know the areas. It's more landlord friendly, which, mm-hmm. you know, some people can be slumlords when it's like that, but I'm not, you know,
right.
Like, you know, all my tenants know me by the first name and they text me, you know, it's pretty, you know, and actually during COVID, I didn't have any tenants that needed any extra assistance or any help. So yeah, it's beneficial to be on a good basis with them. And I take that back. I had one that needed a little bit, they needed just a new lease for like 3 months, just a decreased rate, but then they made up for it at the end.
So gotcha.
It wasn't bad. Yeah. All yeah. Right. Once they got on unemployment, they were okay. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. No, it makes sense. So, yeah. All right. So now you got 11 doors in, Arkansas. You started with a, you know, FHA loan from selling a Bitcoin with a, you know, nice profit margin and everything. And I think you had mentioned you've basically grown $400, which I'm guessing $400 is what you initially put in Bitcoin back in 2013, or maybe a little before that. And now your portfolio is, you know, approaching 2 million, you know, just from hearing those numbers from my listeners, you know, how exactly were you able to pull that off? Was it just, you know, pure luck or just trading up or combination or?
Yeah, it's definitely a combination. You know, the first duplex was about $4,000 down. And then I didn't buy my next one until like 2017. So there was a 4-year gap where I was just trying to like make, you know, more money. I'd moved to San Francisco. I didn't have, you know, a lot of cash flow.
Sure.
So it took a little bit to save up again for that second one. And so the second one, I put 15% down on like $100,000 house.
Okay.
And then after that, I actually started talking to people more about real estate. That was kind of my thing in the beginning. I was like, oh, people find real estate boring. Like, I don't talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
and then all of a sudden, like, people started asking me, because in California, they're like, I can never buy a house. How do you own two?
Like, yeah.
You know? So then I started talking to more people, and people were getting excited. So, I actually found an investor. And we actually went in 50-50 on two different places in Arkansas. I found the deals, and he paid a little bit more of the down payment on the second one. And we kind of worked out different deals. But and then traded up, kept going. We got the third property was zero down because we did a HELOC on the first one. It made the down payment on the third one. And so that one was like, you know, infinite return.
Sure.
When you put zero down. You know,
like, yep. No, it makes sense.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's funny. I was always thinking, because I worked in, you know, real estate in California, And they're like, oh, that's not an appreciation market. I thought that, I really did. And then, you know, come, you know, 2022, I'm like, no, all of my properties have appreciated.
Yep.
Absolutely appreciated. Like all of them are more than double what I paid for them now. So I'm like, it's, you know, it's like, you know, I do cash flow first because I don't want to, you know, go negative at any point.
Right.
But they also absolutely appreciate.
Yep. Yeah. Even just from a historical perspective, but yeah, even nationwide, I think 2021, if I remember right, nationwide, it was like 12.3% or something like that throughout the US. And obviously, you know, some markets like Tampa, we're seeing 20 to 40%, Vegas, just to name a few. And you know, I can't speak for San Francisco. I think they've, you know, started to settle down a little bit, but I think they're still fairly high, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, the condo, I bought it $385,000 and it's estimated at $450,000 right now. So,
okay.
You know, and that was just a year and a half ago.
Gotcha. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. Now, you mentioned you got about 11 doors in Arkansas, but you do have some investments in California and obviously San Francisco. And I mean, it doesn't take long to Google or go on Facebook and, you know, hear horror stories of professional tenants or tenant friendly laws, or like you said, squatters or anything like that. Is there, you know, how has your experience been investing in California? Is it as bad as some of the Reddit threads make it sound out to be, or is it just a matter of, you know, vet the property, vet the tenants, vet the environment, so to speak?
Yeah, I would say definitely vetting is all of it. It's like 100% of it. vetting your tenants. I did read the landlord tenant law book for Arkansas. I've read it a few times now.
Okay.
It hasn't changed much since 2014, but I do recommend always reading that so you know a little bit more about what you're doing. And it's just, you know, safer for everybody. And then I don't think it's that bad. I have had to evict two tenants.
Okay.
Those were my first ones.
Okay.
and at the time, it, you know, it wasn't great, but I Googled like real estate attorney for landlords, like, you know, and the person that came up was great. Actually, all he had to do was send a letter in the mail and they were literally out that week.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I didn't even have to go to court or anything. It was just like, sure. Okay. We're out.
Okay. Interesting. Like,
yeah. But yeah, I would say now, I mean, I use so many screening tools now. So I have a one page application for myself so that I can call all the people. Like, let's say they work at, you know, Outback Steakhouse or something, and they put a phone number down. Well, I'll Google whichever location it is and call that phone number. Like, I don't call the number they give me half the time, you know, stuff like that. And like, I also do, you know, Zillow applications, as well as if it's, I really like the credit and background check on mysmartmove.com through TransUnion. That one gives you a lot of information. That one is just like really robust compared to the Zillow one. Okay. I'll use the Zillow one just because it's easy to click it on and it posts to Trulia, you know, I can't remember the other one they do, Hotpads, I think, and Zillow, and that one's free. So that one's really easy to do, but as far as like the credit and background check, mysmartmove.com is definitely the best.
Okay.
So yeah. So now it's just a lot of upfront screening, you know, and I love Zillow because I can have a saved reply. So in my, you know, like the description of the property, I'll put like all of my requirements, you know, 3 times the monthly rent needs to be your income, like all of it right there so that everybody sees it. And, you know, people will be like, hey, can I view this or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just hit my saved reply, like, do you meet all of the minimum, you know, rental qualifications listed in the ad? And like 9 times out of 10, that weeds out like so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't even read it. So like, you know, you could be wasting all this time, you know, showing people and scheduling and all that stuff when, you know, it's just like everything's really automated now. And so, yeah. And because I've been doing it for a while, I know exactly what I'm looking for, and I have all my forms in place, and like when I call to do, you know, rental verifications, like I know exactly what to ask. And yeah,
okay.
It's just a lot of upfront vetting now.
Sure.
I haven't had to do another one since. So
that's good. Yeah. Very good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just to double check, because I want to get this in the show notes, you said that was mysmartmove.com, is that correct? Okay.
Yes. And it's powered by TransUnion. Gotcha. That's why their credit check is so good.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So now, obviously, we talked about a little bit Arkansas, and now you moved to San Francisco. You've turned in, you know, $400 of Bitcoin and almost $2 million worth of properties. But going forward, as we're close to closing out 2022, any big plans or acquisitions or things that you're looking forward to in 2023?
Yeah. So I actually just restructured all of my loans this past year. So I actually just got a big payday where money is just sitting in account in an account. And so ready to deploy it. Right.
Sure.
So next step, well, actually, I'm moving, so I'm taking a little bit of a pause while I move, but, headed towards the end of the year, I do like getting deals during the holidays.
Okay.
Usually, you know, banks want to get it off their books and, you know, other people are just like, yeah, I'd like to have a Christmas bonus or whatever holiday bonus, you know, I'll go ahead and sell that. So I'll be looking for apartments, value add apartments in Arkansas, in certain cities that I like there. And then also we're doing, you know, I feel like I'm in a really unique position as a real estate investor to help out with energy efficiency. So, you know, homes lose so much energy, and half the time it goes through cracks, it goes through insulation. Like, we're wasting so much, you know, energy and, you know, consuming so much just based on, you know, simple fixes in your home.
Yeah.
So we're doing energy efficiency across the board on all the units.
Okay.
You know, we did when we first bought them, but we haven't done anything in a minute. So I just want to make sure everything's sealed and, and good to go. And then, so we're working with the city's department that does that, that, you know, any, like, say, energy and all these different electric companies actually have programs that they'll come out and do the estimate for free. And a lot of they'll do a lot of rebate type stuff too for free.
Sure.
So we're scheduling all of that. That's kind of the next thing, is trying to make everything more green friendly, and then also buy apartment buildings. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people just, and myself included, we just get so hung up of, well, maybe I'll increase the rent, you know, $25 a month or $100 a month or house hack this or whatever. But they always fail to look at the expense side. It's like, well, hey, if we can do this rebates and save on the energy, and, you know, that's a, you know, 100% gain or ROI right there. And if it works good for, you know, the landlord, works good for the tenants, hopefully, at least I'm speaking from experience, but hopefully don't have any tenants that crank the air conditioner and open the windows and are wondering why it's not cooling down.
No, totally. And that's the thing, like, you know, tenant utility costs, like, you get long-term tenants, you know, when you fix things like that. So that's part of it too. I'm excited to be helpful in that area.
All right. Sounds good. So yeah, going green and making green, I guess. So.
Yeah, I like that.
So, well, as we close this out, Megan, I want to thank you again for joining us and sharing some things. I didn't even know what an FHA 203k loan is, and I'm actually a realtor as well. But if anyone's interested in, you know, learning more about you, learning about the, you know, Dreamy Capital, and maybe possibly even investing alongside of you, what's the best way to reach out and contact you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's Dreamy Capital, and then there's a website too. So it's dreamycapital.com. dreamycapital.com.
All right.
And you can reach out to me in either location.
All right.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And for everyone listening, I'll have those in a clickable format in the show notes, so you don't have to hit rewind and, was that an E? Was that a B? Was that a V or whatnot? So, yeah. All right. Well, Megan, Dreamy Capital, thanks for coming on and educating my listeners, and best of luck to you in 2023.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional
for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.